Good morning. You can find today's reading in the Bibles on your pews on page 1082. So it's John chapter 14, 1-7. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm Chris, and usually on a Sunday morning, I am up at the Old Vic teaching the little ones in Kids Church or the older kids in Pathfinders. But when Sadhu asked if I would teach today, I was so excited that it was a baptism service. We have six children, so children are very important to us. And it was really when I started having children that I understood God's love for us. I've always known that God loved us, but I didn't understand what that meant until I had my own children. And as I was in the hospital holding my precious baby, looking at them and thinking, how did I create such a beautiful, perfect little me? And I knew at that moment that I would never love that baby any more or any less than I did in that moment, that I would love them unconditionally. And then I thought, that's how God sees us. He looks down on us and thinks, what a perfect creation. How beautiful is this person I made? And he knows that he will never love us any more or any less than he did when he created us. And as we're holding our precious babies, we're promising them the world. We're saying, I'll never let anything bad happen to you. I'll always protect you. And if you've got daughters, you're threatening every man that ever looks at her. But even as you're telling your precious baby this, you know it's a lie. Because you know they're going to have heartbreak. And they're going to have upset. And they're going to have trials. And you know that they need that. If they are going to grow into mature, responsible, compassionate human beings, they're going to have to go through trials. That's not so different for us. God knows that if we're growing into compassionate, mature Christians, we're going to have trials. We're going to have heartbreak. But what we mean when we say that to our baby is, whatever you're going through in life, I'm here for you. I'm never going to leave you. And that's what God tells us. You're going to go through these things, but I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to be here with you. So then our little darlings grow up to be toddlers. And here is where we learn patience. And our favorite word appears to be no. No, you can't touch my hot coffee. No, you can't climb on top of the stove. No, you can't put those keys in the socket. And you get your typical two-year-old temper tantrum because you're spoiling all their fun, because they know that's fun and they know that's what they want, and we are such killjoys. And we're saying, you don't see the big picture. I know that's not what you want. That's not what you need. That is not going to give you the desired effect. And then I think, how often am I that two-year-old? How often do I throw my two-year-old temper tantrums because God doesn't give me what I want? And I think, why are you spoiling my fun? Because I know this would be great. And he says, my child, you don't see the big picture. You don't know the consequences of this. This is not what you want. And then, as every good parent does, you say, all right, they'll only do it once. Sometimes kids have to learn the hard way. We have our son visiting from America right now, and we were out to dinner the other day, and he said, Mum, thank you for giving me enough rope to hang myself on. And I thought, that's not really how I would have seen it or how I would have worded it, but I got what he meant. Sometimes you just have to go, okay, when you're done, I'm still here. My mum always used to say, well, you made your bed, you lie in it. I said a million times, they'll only do it once. But you know what? They don't only do it once. They do it time and time and time and time again. Just like us. God says, I gave you free will. Have at it. You choose. I'm still here, arms open wide, waiting for you to come back to me. And we run off and do whatever was such a good idea. And you think we would learn our lesson. But we don't. We do it time and time and time again. But every time we mess up, God is still waiting, arms wide open, just as we are for our children. Come on, I know you got it wrong again. I still love you. I still love you. And then we get to the teenage years. Teenagers are probably my favorite age group. But it's kind of like having a two-year-old again, only they're a bit bigger. They still want to exert their independence. They still know that everything they know is right. And they still know that you're a killjoy. I have twin boys, and they are 31 now, and they are mature, responsible, family-loving guys. They were not always that way. The teenage years were a little rough. And one day I was in bed fast asleep, and I get a phone call. The voice on the other end of the phone says, ma'am, do you know where your sons are? And I'm like, they better be home in bed. And the constable on the other end of the phone said, well, actually, they're at the police station. We picked them up for underage drinking and curfew violation. They're 16. I'm furious as I'm pulling on my clothes over my PJs and checking on the little ones, and I'm driving to the police station. I'm mad. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. And I walk into the police station, and they shuffle out with their heads held low, walk up to me, and I'm like to say it was with a contrite heart because they were feeling really sorry for what they did. But actually, I think it was more of a drunk, belligerent, I can't hold my head up kind of thing. And I looked at them, and my heart broke. Because I knew they were searching in all the wrong places for what they needed. They were searching for acceptance. They were searching for meaning. They were searching for themselves. And they were doing it in all the wrong places. And my heart broke for them. And I knew, as I looked at my 16-year-old sons, that I loved them as much then as I ever had and as I ever will. And that's kind of where my comparison to how I love my children and how God loved me ends. Because I know a fair few of you here, and you're all good people. There's even a few of you that I really quite love. But it doesn't matter how much I love you. I am never sacrificing my kids for you. Because I love my kids way more than I love any of you. And you're good people. So if we think about murderers and rapists and pedophiles, am I going to sacrifice my children for them? Absolutely not. And there's where I realize there's a whole world of difference between how I love my kids and how God loves us. Because God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. Now, people say that Christianity is exclusive, it's bigoted, it's narrow-minded. Let me tell you, it's none of those things. John 3:16 said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. Whosoever. Does that sound very exclusive? I'd say it sounds all-inclusive. That's just not church people. That's not just good people. That's everyone. That's every race, every nation, every color, every culture, every adulterer, every liar, every gossip, everyone. So then you get the other argument. Well, if God was a loving God, he wouldn't send people to heaven. No. If God was a loving God, he wouldn't send people to hell. Let's get that the right way around. Let me tell you, God doesn't send anyone to hell. If we end up in hell, we've sent ourselves there. We have no one to blame but ourselves. Because God has provided a way back to him. See, God is holy and magnificent and perfect. And sin cannot abide in his presence. Just a law of nature. Sin cannot abide in his presence. So we have a big problem. There's a big gap between our sinful nature and our God. But in our reading today, we learn the way. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. He's already made a way. We can't add anything to it. We can't take anything away to it from it. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. It seems right to us. We can construct our own premise as what seems right to get back to God. But it's not the truth. The truth is, Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the bridge between us and our home. Now you can look at a bridge and think, oh, that's a really nice bridge. I love the architecture. What a good idea to build a bridge here. It'd be a really good idea to go on that bridge if I want to get to this place. But all of that looking at that bridge and all of that thinking it's a great bridge or a great idea doesn't get us to our destination unless we step out on it. Our part is to step out on the bridge that is Jesus, because we can't add anything. God isn't a signpost. Jesus didn't come as a signpost to say, if you go to church more often, if you read your Bible more often, if you pray more often, then you'll be closer to heaven. He didn't say that. He said, I am the way. We can't do anything except trust that he is actually the way, and he has done everything for us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, truth is interesting in this day and age, because society would have us believe that what I believe is true, and what you believe is true, and what you believe is true, and that's fine because it's all truth, so we can have our own truth. Let me tell you, that's not truth, that's an opinion. And everybody is entitled to their own opinion. But that doesn't mean it's right. There is one truth. The truth was the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and into eternity. And that truth is that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. That's the truth, and that truth never changes. Don't buy into a lie that you can make the truth what you like, because then you're back to the road of there is a way that seems right to men, but in the end, it leads to death. One truth, clearly laid out. God loved you enough to send his son to be born as a human man, to live a perfect life, to choose to die on the cross because he loved us, to be buried, to raise again on the third day, to appear to his disciples, to appear to other people, and then to go to heaven where he sits on the right hand of the Father even today. That's the truth. The life. He is the life. Well, if we were created purely to be in relationship with God, we could go to heaven as soon as we made that decision. All right, I choose you, God. Zap. We're up in heaven. That doesn't happen. We're here. We have a life here. We have a life now. We have a spiritual life. We have a physical life. We can be physically alive and spiritually dead. How many of us have sat in pews at church with our Christian facade on, holding everything inside in case someone sees a chink in our perfect Christian faith? And we're listening, but we're not hearing, we're not feeling, because we're so consumed with what's inside of us, with the pain, with the hurt. Our lives are falling apart, and yet we come on a Sunday, and there we sit. Everything's fine, life is good. But we're angry. And we're angry at each other, and we're angry at God, and we're jealous, and we're hurting. But we think we can't let anyone see that. But you know, this is no surprise to God, because God made emotions. And God made us. And he knows what we're thinking. And he sent us Jesus. Now, how does Jesus help us? Jesus goes through every emotion, has gone through every emotion you will ever feel. Jesus lived as a man. He went through the same trials, the same temptations, the same hurts as we do. He knows what it is to walk this life. And yet, through his trials, his temptations, his hurts, he never once lost communion with God. God never failed him. And he models us a perfect example of how to live with God in this difficult world. But does that mean he's given us this perfect model? And he says, all right, this is how you do it. Now get on with it. No. Jesus is our friend. He is a friend like no other friend. He is not going to roll his eyes at you because he has heard the story a dozen times. He is not going to listen to every third word because you're taking too long to tell the story. He is not going to roll over and fall asleep because he's just not really interested in what you're saying. No. He loves us and he walks with us through everything, and he is never going to leave us. Hebrews 31, 6, back in the Old Testament, it says, for your God will never leave you or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31, in the Old Testament, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. Jump all the way to the New Testament, to Hebrews, and Hebrews still tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you. There's the truth. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, from creation to the end of eternity, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's the friend we have in Jesus. He walks with us. He comforts us. He loves us. He guides us. And when we can't do it anymore, he picks us up and he walks with us. God did not leave us here to struggle, to find our own way, to guess at our own way. God gave us the way. He gave us Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you have never decided to follow Jesus, or if you are sitting there, hurt and broken and lonely, know that it's never too late. Jesus loves you now. God is opening his arms to you. He's waiting for you. Nothing you have ever done, nothing that you will ever do will ever change that. Just as we stand there waiting, praying our kids back to us, he's doing that for us. Don't let that opportunity pass. Don't turn your back on a God that is showing you the way. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we thank you that you love us enough that you sent your Son to die for us. Let us not miss that truth, Lord, that you love us and you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You were there in the beginning for us and you will be there in the end. Lord, I pray that we would surrender our hurts, we would surrender our loneliness, we would surrender our version of the truth, and that, Lord, we would be unconditionally sold out for you. I pray for your peace. I pray for your love for each member of this congregation today. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would guide us, and that we would choose to follow Jesus, the way, Jesus, the truth, and Jesus, the life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our only Savior. Amen.